You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Be sure to check out Plus Membership and also all of our courses at newchurches.com, because we are adding new courses, especially over the next couple months, probably one a month for a bit, all around multi-site and campus pastoring. So you can go to newchurches.com/courses to learn more about that. My name is Daniel Lim, and I am joined together with the one and only Todd Adkins. Well, today's question is from Trey Skinner, so let's listen in.
Hi, guys. I am an associate pastor at a church in New England with a weekly adult attendance of about 220 adults and about 100 kids and youth. And so my question is, as far as midweek programs, how much is too much? We have two Sunday services with a full kids ministry at both and youth ministry at our second service. We also have a midweek service with a meal beforehand and full kids and youth ministry. And then we also have small groups that we're hoping will be well attended. But we've had trouble, I think, growing them. And so I'm asking if we're trying to do too much, and to what extent does a midweek family-geared service compete with small groups? Or can we do both and have both thrive? And what's a reasonable but ambitious attendance rate for those if they're running concurrently? Thanks.
All right. I love how Trey has just given us a lot of information.
he's given us a ton of information.
Yeah.
And now we have to talk through something where we are going to tick somebody off during this podcast.
Okay, so let's go to principle. Let's go to principles. Okay. So I'm currently finishing up my manuscript for my next book. It's going to be called No Silver Bullets, and it's all about small shifts. I like your sound effects.
Thank you.
Maybe the book should be like those cards where you open it up and it goes choo choo choo.
That was a ricochet.
Yeah. But the idea is, what are some small shifts, small things that you can do that'll lead to macro change? So that's going to be coming out next year. We'll tell you more about it later. But I mentioned this because one of my chapters is all about moving from form to function. And Trey, let me give you a little bit of information around that, background around that. A lot of times when we look at church practice and we look at what we do and what we don't do, we often teach the way that we've been taught. We lead the way that we've been led. And as a result, the way we lead our churches is often a little bit of a compilation of how we grew up, best practices from others, thoughts that we have for ourselves. But as it sounds like to me, you know, you having Sunday worship, you having a midweek service, you having midweek meal programs, small groups, and, you know, I mean, that's common in a lot of churches, right? That really is common. But what you need to do is to move from, you know, the form of small groups, the form of midweek meal, the form of a midweek worship, the form of those programs, and move from there to the function. You know, what did Jesus say? What is the heart behind all of that? Right. I mean, Jesus never said get into a small group or have a midweek worship service and a meal together. Right. I mean, we see a lot of the one another's lived out in scripture. Right. So if you go and analyze all the programs that you do and put it in a chart and say, OK, what is the function of this form? Right. What is the function of the midweek? What is the purpose behind it? How are people growing? How are people developing? And to actually take a look at each of those programs, do an audit on it, and say, okay, what does it look like for us to then, you know, how are we as a church secondarily then developing leaders, or how much of our staff time or how much leader resources are going into each of these areas? Because Todd and I serve on the department called Lifeway Leadership. So we're all about helping develop resources around leadership for the church. Newchurches.com, Ministry Grid, both of those are, you know, in a sense, I don't know what to call them. platforms or ministries that are under the umbrella of LifeWay Leadership. But both Todd and I live, breathe, and eat leadership development, right? So when you look at all your midweek programs, when you look at all these stuff, are you the one leading them, right? Are you, do you have volunteers leading them? Do you have leaders of leaders leading them? Todd, why don't you take it from here and keep on going? I feel like I've talked for a long, long time.
I feel like you talked for a long time too, Daniel.
Yeah, thanks.
But you wrote a book. I mean, yeah. Come on. So you've put a lot of thought into it. I would say, you know, one of the things that you're talking about is what type of culture you have and what type of culture you want. Because, you know, when you're talking about making small shifts that lead to big changes,
yeah.
A lot of those changes are going to be in the culture, or they're going to have to stem out of that.
Yeah.
And so part of the question is we had to actually address this at LifeWay, because when you look at a lot of what we do is curriculum. And so a lot of churches do Sunday morning curriculum, Sunday school, if you will. What happened is church practice has changed a great deal over the last 30 years. And we were still producing the same materials in the same way until about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And when that shift happens, we said, no, we're leading with content, not context.
Mm.
And that goes back to your form and function point, just meaning that, you know, we had put ourselves unnecessarily, we had pigeonholed ourselves and what we did into one context.
Okay.
And, you know, once we began to broaden that context, as churches have broadened their context, it changed that. The interesting thing for me is when you look at what the pastor does versus what the people do, most of the time in a traditional Sunday school model church, you have pastors and staff leading a lot, or you'll have a master teacher, and that master teacher, you know, has some large classes or community classes. And that's just, you know, it seems, especially in the adult space, how that has been. And what you're seeing a struggle with is, you know, when small groups came along, and you begin to see a massive shift. And I think if Steve Gladen was here, he would say this. At one time, he had made the mistake of saying, oh, anybody can be a small group leader. All you need to do is be able to press play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he has since come way back from that. But I think that's what the reputation, at least, some of the traditional churches have towards small group is they think it is dumbed down, or that master teacher takes a, you know, they're spending hours a week in preparation.
Yeah.
And the reality is there's a middle ground there. And also the reality is of the way community happens and forms, you know, you're going to have pockets of 3, pockets of 12, and pockets of 72, you know, just like Jesus did. That's how people tend to form up in, you know, groups and families and tribes and so on and so forth. So I think one of the things that a small group does is it really helps your church, you know, be small. So I would encourage you, it sounds like right now you haven't experimented with groups and you're thinking about doing both.
Yeah.
I would say be careful. I don't know anybody that has done both well. Daniel, you may want to weigh in on that.
Yeah, I mean, it dilutes it, right? When in terms of when it's done well, there's a distinction, right? You have to really paint the distinction as a church. So I know this is a broad generalization, but you have, on the one hand, you have people that are more relationally oriented. And then on the other hand, you have people who are more task oriented. So for those who are more relationally oriented, a small group experience that you say things like it's better, life is better connected, or life is better in community, or, you know, we journey together. You know, you kind of say, hey, this is kind of the purpose of a small group, that, you know, we got to get together, be in community, live life. And you have images of meals and people eating together. You know, I mean, that's kind of, it really appeals to that relational side. right? But the fact is, when you get, once you get into a small group or, you know, a mid-sized group or a missional community, once you get into that, what you actually do get is content. You get life transformation. You get your disciple. You grow. But the appeal is relationships for the relationally oriented person. What you could do, Trey, is you could actually transition your midweek program to be more task oriented for the other side of the spectrum. So what that means is you're saying, hey, this is not just a midweek program or a midweek worship service, but this is a class on the spiritual disciplines, right? Or this is a class on being, you know, experiencing freedom in Christ. So the way you advertise it, the way you share it to the church is very much of a, hey, this is what you're going to learn. This is what you're going to grow in. And it's a short-term experience. Maybe it's a 1 day or a 6 week or however you want to do it. And then, but what happens is they get there, right? They grow in knowledge, they're discipled, they grow, but they also find community because you put them in rounds. Right. So in the end, whatever form you choose to use, the function is, hey, you want to develop mature disciples of Christ who are living out the Great Commission, but you can do it through either funnel or either way.
Yeah. And I would encourage you, I would also encourage you to think about, you know, again, everything you do is another opportunity cost for people.
Yeah.
It's another announcement or another ad or another. So be careful what you start, unless you kill something else. But I think Daniel's point early on, was that you probably should just take a good hard look at everything you do and put it in buckets, audit to see, okay, do we have too many options, you know, for this type of ministry? And if we do, what's the best one? And, you know, again, change is super difficult because as soon as something moves to be operationalized, it's now, you know, there's always a keeper of the status quo that is ready to pounce and with guns blazing. So
that's good. That's good. Well, thanks again for listening in. Be sure to go to newchurches.com and submit a voicemail by hitting the sidebar on the right, or go to speakpipe.com/newchurches, and you can do that on a mobile device. Be sure to get your questions in. We'd love to answer them and help you out where you're at. So we'll catch you next time.